Joaquin Lopez, our guest tonight, has been our missionary in Spain for, oh my goodness, a while now anyway. I wanted to look that up tonight and just ran out of time, but it's been at least 8 years, hasn't it? 10 years? I was going to say 10, and I thought, no, I better be conservative and back off, but 10 years. When Joaquin started as our missionary in Spain, he had no gray hair. But now he's a grandfather, and look what happened. They have been, him and Pocky and his family have been doing a tremendous ministry for the Lord there, and the Lord has been blessing. And as I understand from your prayer letters, you're getting ready to start a brand new ministry. And the Lord gave opportunity for Joaquin to come back to the United States and share what God has done and what God is leading them to do. And brought him here tonight, so I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord has for him and for him to do and for us to keep praying about. Now, one question I have, you might have time for questions at the end, but I'm not going to wait. It's something that was dear to my heart from the very beginning. I remember when you first started out, you said you had a goal of 100 souls for Christ. Did you accomplish that goal? But you're working on it. Well, that's good. That's from the very beginning, that's been a prayer request that has just stuck up here for you. And I've been personally concerned about it. I know it's been in our prayer sheets for you and so forth. And I think the congregation has been praying about it. So come, let us hear what God's been doing.
Well, I don't know if this pews here has like bacteria. You should come down so that we can see each other. Oh, yes. All right, here. All right. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to come back to Salina Bible Church to present the ministry of Spain 12 years ago. Some around 12 years ago, maybe 11 years ago. Actually, we were here from 94 to 96. We came here to Salina Bible Church and other supporting other churches around in the United States area, actually in the East Coast, and we raised support to go back to Spain and start churches in Spain. Well, we went back to a city called Mataró. Mataró is 120,000 people. I worked in that city for a while, so the Lord put that city on my heart. That city did not have any fundamental good church, so we started the church there in Mataró, my family of six, my wife and four children and myself. And we bought an apartment. We rent a storefront room to have a church. Well, in the beginning, it was my wife, my four children. So I preached to them. My son played the trumpet. My children sang special music to my wife and I. And we just prayed that the Lord will bless the ministry. Well, before we knew, people moved to the area. People got saved. So that first location got kind of small. So we were praying that the Lord will give us a larger location. So the Lord gave us a very nice place. Actually, in the beginning, it was like a dark parking garage underneath of, you know, like 2 meters underneath my height. It has a little light with many columns. So it was a real blessing to be able to fix that place for a year. And then we moved into that new location. And what a blessing. What a blessing. In that first location, the small place, actually, I had a very small office. It was like, you know, a little corner here of, you know, just very small. So I said to myself, Lord, next place that I am going to have a church, the new building, I will make sure that I have a large, you know, beautiful office. A big desk, a nice chair, and then a sofa, you know, to read my books and so forth. Well, finally, we got into the new place and I made sure that I had a nice office. As I was plastering the walls and painting the walls, I heard a voice. Well, actually, I never heard the voice, but the Lord just brought into my heart, Joaquin, this place is not for you. I said, come on, Lord. I have been, you know, wishing so much to have a nice office and a nice place, and I really like to be in Mataró for many years. And he said, no, this place is not for you. This place is for Brother Rodrigo Delgado. Brother Rodrigo Delgado was a young man that came from another church to our church, and he loved the Lord. He attended our Night Bible Institute. He
he felt the calling of the Lord to be in the ministry, so he and his wife, he got married with his wife, they came to America to Foundation Bible College. So in his second year of college, I called Brother Rodrigo and I said, Brother Rodrigo, the Lord is speaking to my heart that you should be the next pastor of the church because the Lord wants us to move on. So what do you think? He said, well, sounds exciting, but scary. So I want to pray and I will let you know something. So after a few months, Brother Rodrigo Delgado called me and he said, yes, I think that this is the will of the Lord to be the pastor of the church in Mataró. So now we are free to go back to Spain and start a new church in a new area. It's 2 hours south. The place is called Tarragona, 120,000 people without no good church at all. So the same burden that I have for Mataró, I have for Tarragona. Now, I do not know the future. I know that the Lord did a work in Mataró, and I do not say that I will be able to reproduce the same thing in Tarragona in 10 years. I may be out of there in 5 years. I may be there for the rest of my life because I do not know the future, and it is the Lord who does the work. He puts everything together, and it is not easy to start a church from the very scratch. We do not know anybody in Tarragona, so my wife, my daughter, and myself, this time 3 people in a size of 6, we will go to Tarragona, and it is not easy, you know, humanly speaking, to start a church from the very scratch, and in 10 years to leave the church has grown, and have the right person. This is very important. If you don't have the right person, don't leave the church. But in Mataró, I had people, I had the right person, so why stay longer? So we are moving on to Tarragona to start a new church. So pray that the Lord will bless us in Tarragona. And now we are going to go to Spain through a DVD presentation. And maybe after the DVD presentation, you will have some questions that you may want to ask. And then I will really like to have some time for preaching. So let's go to Spain and then you may ask some questions. The Lopez family. Yeah, you need to. Okay, with the arrow, just hit here. Yeah, yeah, right. Just hit it hard.
Con él y lo está consiguiendo realmente. Hay un grupo, hay unos cuantos personas en este pueblo que se han dado cuenta de este gran engaño y han hecho algo.
Pues Débora, bajo tu confesión de fe, yo te bautizo en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.
Yes, Spain is a country to be reached. Spain is located in the extreme southwest of Europe and shares with Portugal the Iberian Peninsula. It is the second largest country in Western Europe, slightly more than twice the size of Colorado. More than 42 million people live in Spain, and over 98% of them claim to be Roman Catholic by birth. In reality, however, the great majority of people in Spain are not religious. On 2 occasions, people have actually showed their antagonism towards God by painting graffiti on our church door. The cults have also been growing through the years, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. Spain is also experiencing the impact of thousands of Muslims and Chinese people that are coming in search of a better life. Yes, Spain is a country to be reached. Please pray for this needy country. Then spoke Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lopez family has had the privilege to be counted among those missionary families called to reach the people of Spain for the Lord Jesus Christ. In December of 1996, after finishing deputation, our family went back to Spain to spread this light in the midst of so much darkness. The Spanish target city to establish a church was the city of Mataró. After establishing ourselves as a family, we started looking for a storefront room where we could plant a church. The place that the Lord gave us was located in a growing section of town. The building itself was very appropriate for our needs, and the rent was not very high. The Lord granted us 5 great years of ministry in this first location. As we increased in number, our place of worship became very small for our needs and our ministries. After much prayer, the Lord showed us a wonderful location in a very centric part of town for a very good price and much larger for our needs. We were able to purchase it and transform the dark parking lot into a wonderful place of worship. We started work in March of 2002. The transformation took place, first demolishing the car ramp and putting all the debris into 4 huge containers. We thank the Lord also for several men of the church who came to help us so many times as their schedule allowed them. We had to lay all the floor, build the baptistry, put up sheetrock walls, ceilings, woodwork, electrical wiring, and then paint, decorate, and install the handicap elevator. Finally, the church was completed after a year of hard work. In January 2003, we had the dedication of our new place of worship. Many people have come into the church because of its great location. Some have just walked in out of curiosity. One of our ministries in this new and beautiful location has been our yearly Bible conference. Dr. Mark Vittori, our missions director, opened this important yearly highlight in January of 2003. The Evening Bible Institute is held in our church every Tuesday night from 8 to 10. We believe in the need to teach our people to know Christ better and understand their faith and the Bible so they can accurately present a defense for their Savior in our pagan country. Throughout the years, we have been teaching several subjects: Bible doctrines or systematic theology, Greek synonyms of the New Testament, false sects and religion, and synoptic gospels, the book of Acts, the book of Hebrews, and several others. We rejoice that through the years, we have been able to baptize several people. Our baptismal services have given us a great opportunity to preach the gospel. We also had the blessing of having several weddings, including the one of our daughter Sarah with Joseph. One of the ministries that we have had almost from the very beginning is the children's Bible club called The Explorers. Throughout the year, the young people of our church have been involved in this ministry. It has provided them with a good opportunity to develop their talents and to be active in the work of the Lord. The purpose of this ministry has been to present Christ to the little children. We also have tried to teach them to work with their hands and develop their creativity and to be good citizens. Some other churches' ministries have included passing out tracts, singing in the streets, and putting up a book table. This has given us many opportunities to speak with people. The ladies, every other Tuesday, have their ladies' Bible study. The Lord has blessed this ministry with several ladies who faithfully attend. Baki has also organized a yearly women's retreat. This has been very beneficial for the 50 ladies in attendance. Different outings have also been provided for the senior saints as well. Summer is probably the busiest time of ministry. Every year we participate in children's and youth camp an evangelistic tour, and family camp. The camp is located in the beautiful town of Besalú, with its medieval bridge, which always welcomes the many children and young people who joyfully come to spend the 8 days at camp. Throughout the day, our main emphasis is the Word of God and the need to be saved. Every year, we have had several different theme emphases. During these days, they have learned Bible lessons, they've had morning devotions, and memorized scripture. Of course, there have been times to enjoy great Spanish meals, play games, and teach different Bible and missionary stories through drama at night. On several occasions, we have been leading an evangelistic tour. We have spread the gospel throughout a region called Maestrazgo and many little towns in the southeast part of Spain. We prepared the envelopes of hope that contain a Gospel of John and several gospel tracts. Then we distributed them door to door, sharing Christ with the lost, preaching the gospel to people in the streets. In the evenings, we went to a busy square and sang, preached, and shared our testimonies of how we came to know Christ. We also had special times with the children. Every month of December, we organize a youth retreat at the beautiful city of Peñíscola. The young people spend a good time together, learning the Word of God and having clean fun. We continue to do our work, knowing by faith that the Holy Spirit will do His work in due time in the lives of so many souls that through these ministries have listened to the gospel for the first time in their lives. We thank the Lord for the ones that have come to know the Lord Jesus during these 10 years of ministry, of whom several have been promoted already to glory. Please pray for Maria, Jorge, Frank, Maravilla, Mohammed, Pedro, and several others. Pray that God will do a work in the most inner part of their being. Our work in Mataró seems to have come to an end. We rejoice in the Lord that after 10 years of service in this city, and by the Lord's grace, our Lord has used us to establish a well-organized church, leading it with a national pastor that will take the church to new spiritual levels should the Lord tarry. Pastor Rodrigo and his wife Rebecca have been studying the Bible at Foundations Bible College. They have been in an internship program for 1 year where they have been learning all the particulars of the ministry. The next city that the Lord has put in our hearts is called Tarragona. The Roman armies arrived there just a few years before us, in the year 218 before Christ. Tarragona was the Spanish Roman capital for a number of years. Caesar Augustus spent 2 years in this city, recuperating from a serious illness. As you can imagine, the city of Tarragona is full of history. If you come to visit us, we will be glad to show you. The Roman Colosseum, where many Christians died because of their faith, still stands. It is sobering to see and read of those that were tortured for the cause of Christ. Tradition tells us that the Apostle Paul came to Tarragona. Next to the occultic graffiti on this monument, the inscription reads, "This is the man of greatest worldwide influence who has ever lived." But on the other side, another phrase reads, "If you recite the rosary at the foot of this statue, you will be out of purgatory 300 days." Yes, Tarragona needs to hear the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know for sure if the Apostle Paul finally made it to the city or not, but it is an honor and a privilege in the 21st century to preach the same gospel that still saves people from the same misery of the same sin. By the Lord's grace, we want to reach the 100,000 people that live here. We look forward to the spring of 2008 when we plan to move to that city and start preaching the gospel to this unreached area of Spain. By the Lord's grace, it is our desire to reproduce what we have done in Mataró during these past 10 years. After our arrival in Tarragona, we want to start renting a storefront room to be able to hold services immediately. Please pray that the Lord will guide us in every little step of the way. Please also pray with us that the Lord will provide the means for rent and other expenses. Lord willing, Joseph and our daughter Sarah, as well as our grandchildren, after finishing their deputation, will join us in Tarragona. We are very happy to be able to be co-laborers of the gospel with our own children. Our son Daniel graduated last May from Baptist College of Ministry. He feels a calling of the Lord to come to Spain to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that the Lord will guide him before he comes back to Spain in the near future. Ana, our next daughter, is a student at BCM, preparing herself to serve the Lord as well. Deborah will help us in Tarragona until she reaches the age to attend Bible college. We are praying that they will be used in the Lord's vineyard to see many people saved. Please, would you pray for us? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Well, before I forget, let me share with you that my wife is not with me because my oldest daughter had a baby and they live in Wisconsin, so my wife and youngest daughter went to be with my oldest daughter for 3 weeks, so she comes tomorrow morning and I am really looking forward to that. Yes. So, and then as I said, my son Daniel is helping a church in Wisconsin and he eventually wants to come to Spain. And thank you so much for your support, your prayer support, your financial support through those 10 years of ministry in Spain. Any one of you have a question? Maybe two? Anybody has a question? Yes, ma'am. Well, I work in Mataró in the first city and in the second city as a nutritionist many years ago. So one day I was walking in that city and just I had a great burden in my heart. I cannot explain it. And the Lord just put that city in my heart. So there is no explanation. Yeah. Maybe, actually in Mataró, the first city, an elderly couple, the first elderly couple that they joined us, Jose and Josefa, they told us that they were praying that the Lord will send somebody to Mataró because spiritually it was barren. Now, maybe somebody is praying in Tarragona. I don't know. But we will see. I think I saw him. No, somebody was scratching. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm sorry? Oh, it's very expensive. It is like probably over $6 a gallon. So before you make a trip, you want to think about it. And the euro, actually, the euro is very, very powerful now. So in order to buy a dollar, when you send a dollar to Spain, we do not get 1 euro. We only get like 62 cents. So in order to buy 1 euro, you need $1.42. And this has been through the last 3 or 4 years. So missionaries in Europe are really suffering because of that. So we will really appreciate your prayers, because you know, when the euro came, our support, not exactly when the euro came, but later, a little later, our support got cut little by little, you know, and who knows where it will end. I heard that when it comes to 170, it will start going back. Oh, I hope it never, you know, goes to that way. So please pray about it. Yeah. Any other question? All right, well, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1. And I like to read 9 verses of this book. Now, before I forget, I was forgetting already. My mind is amazing. Actually, the people in Spain of our church in Mataró, from their hearts, I never asked that. They one day came to me the day before we left, and they said to me, "We have written this letter, and we want you to read this letter to your supporting churches." So I read the letter. I got shocked. Okay? So this is what the letter says. And this is for you. Dear pastor and brethren of the church, choicest Christian greetings in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our purpose with this letter to thank you all for the many prayers and financial effort made in all giving to the kingdom of God in favor of your missionaries, brother and sister Joaquin Lopez. It has been through your support that the work of God in the country of Spain, that we have had God's privilege to see a Bible-believing church established in the city of Mataró. Missionary Lopez and his dear wife have been faithful servants ministering daily for the sake of Jesus and becoming a continual blessing to many through the 10 years of Christian ministry in the church of Mataró. They believe it is the Lord's will for them to go to another city, the city of Tarragona, to continue spreading the seed of the gospel where there is no Bible-believing church, while leaving a national pastor, Pastor Rodrigo Delgado, pastor in the church of Mataró. We wanted this to be our opportunity to show our Christian gratitude to your dear church and to encourage you to continue praying for the gospel in Spain and for more workers willing to surrender to God's calling and to give their lives and time to the Lord of the harvest. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58, and then some of the people sign underneath. So, Pastor, I give the letter to you. I leave it here, maybe for your files. Or, and this is, you know, what they want. They wanted, you know, me to read this letter to you. And I thought it was very nice, you know, for them, you know, to do that. And I thank you personally for your effort of supporting us for so many years. Now, Book of Acts, chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1. We're going to read the first 9 verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And let's have a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come before thee this evening with fear in our hearts because we are holding the precious word of God. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will empower us to preach the word, that the Holy Spirit will empower the hearers, so that all of us will go out into the common market of life, and that we will really be a testimony for Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit in these last days in which we are living. Speak to us, Lord, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ spent 3.5 years with his disciples, and he had so much patience. Now, can you imagine calling Peter, that great fisherman? He was a good fisherman. And he said, Peter, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. So Peter left everything and he followed the Lord. And the Lord had much patience with Peter, with all the apostles. Actually, he knew that one was a traitor, Judas. And he did not say anything, because the word of God was to be fulfilled. So, 3.5 years with the apostles, after 3.5 years, you are kind of thinking that they ought to know a lot of things. But being with Jesus 3.5 years, it seems that it was not enough. They heard many good things, but many of the truths, I guess, it went over their heads many times. One day, Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, don't go to the cross. We don't want you to die for us. And he said, depart from me, Satan. Well, the night before the Lord Jesus Christ went into the cross, every disciple denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Every disciple fled the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was by himself, alone, taking that trial so hard. And the great apostle Peter, wanting to get nearer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, what is the situation with Peter and the apostles? Now I have read a verse in the book of Acts that says, "But ye shall receive power." But ye shall, it's future. Because before the crucifixion, let me tell you something, the disciples did not have any power. No power at all. Listen to Peter. Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Now if you know Greek, that curse and swear is not something light. It's something bad, bad, bad. So before the crucifixion, Peter was scared to death. He said, I do not know the man. Leave me alone. Now, as you study the Word of God in the Gospels, you may think that after the resurrection, it was probably a little different. But after the resurrection, it did not change too much the picture. They were all with fear. The disciples, they had the wrong doctrine. They thought that Jesus was going to free them from the powers of the Romans, from the power of the Romans. In verse 6 of the verses that I have read says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So in the book of Luke, after the resurrection, same thing, verse 21, Luke 24. But we trusted that it had been he which should he redeem Israel. And beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. So, before the crucifixion, they asked that question. After the resurrection, they asked again the same question. They did not have any faith on the scriptures after the resurrection. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The disciples were very much afraid. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? They thought that Jesus was some kind of a spirit. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. So I am kind of painting a picture here, which is not too nice, of the disciples. If I would have been there, I probably would have done the same thing. No power before the crucifixion. No power before the resurrection. Now the question is, why? They didn't have any power. Why? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 24:49 answers that question. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now my question is, definitely, as we study the book of Acts, we see a big change. Now you have read the book of Acts several times, so you remember when the Holy Spirit came to that upper room, they were praying, oh Lord, help us, we don't have any power. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, go into all the world, before he ascended into the third heaven. So they were thinking, we don't have any power to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. So they were there in the upper room, 120 people, praying, oh Lord, what should we do? Well, the day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit came with power. And what is next? Peter, that coward, if you excuse me, that coward Peter stands up with no power, without any apology, he's not ashamed anymore, and he tells the people that crucified the Lord, they were there. He said, you crucified the Lord. Something has happened, isn't it? Something different has happened. So now Peter stands up with no power. Oh, what a blessing. He preaches a message concerning the crucifixion, and he said, yes, you crucified the Lord, so repent of your sins. And 3,000 people got saved. Now, what has happened? What has happened? Well, you know what has happened. The Holy Spirit came into the hearts of those apostles. The Holy Spirit filled them up with power. Now, let me ask you something. Are we still living in that Holy Spirit age? Or are we living in another age? I think that we are still living in the age of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are very much afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit because of the charismatic movement, and I understand that. You know, I am not a friend of the charismatic movement, and they are in apostasy, and they teach, you know, wrong doctrine, and, you know. But, on the other hand, there once something is happening in our churches today. Something is happening. Why are the churches half empty? It is not here only. It's everywhere. Somebody asked me one day, what is the main problem that you face in Spain? They asked me, is the Roman Catholic Church? I said, no. Is the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness? I said, no. What is then the main problem in Spain? I said, apathy among Christians. Apathy among Christians. And then we want to substitute the power of the Holy Spirit with things. Alright? Because we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to look for things that it will give us something so that we will have some quote-unquote power. And that we will have success. But I tell you, Christianity, and let me tell you something, around the world, it's in big, deep trouble today. And I don't know what will happen to the next generation. Now, the message that I am preaching, I am not, you know, bounding to you here. I am not really, you know, exhorting you of anything. This is the message and this truth the Lord has been speaking to me in the last couple of years. Because this is my greatest need. Because this is key to missions. If I want to go to Tarragona and have success, I need this. I can have all the money, I can have all the methods, I can have all the men, I can have all everything. But if I lack this, forget it. Forget it. Now the question is, today, where is that power? Is it not supposed the church to have power? Like the apostles? Where is the power? But I believe that the Holy Spirit in many cases is quenched. Quenched by our sins, quenched by the style of our lives. In the 21st century, it's quenched because we want our way instead of the Lord's way. And then we will not be able to accomplish anything in America, in Spain, you name it. You name it. So what is the solution? All right, I have shown you the problem. And this is not a problem in America. I mean, as I travel to many churches, you know, missionaries who go from church to church. I was in a church this morning, you know. I mean, in a year, I will be visiting like almost 100 churches. So I am in the move. And I see a lot of Christianity. And something, it's happening around the United States, and something is happening in Spain. So we have a problem in our hands. Now, what is the solution? Now, I think that I know the solution. You probably know the solution too, I am sure. The message of this evening is nothing new to you. It's a reminder. But let me give some hints of what we can do to really see the Lord work, first of all, in my personal life, in the life of my family, and in the life of my church in Spain. And as I go back to Tarragona, Spain, to see the Lord doing a wonderful and marvelous work. I don't want to go to Spain and just be defeated. I want to go to Spain and see the Lord work. And your prayers are very important. So what is the solution to that? Well, let me paint. Always, you know, as I am witnessing in the country of Spain, I always carry a pen. Almost every time I carry a pen and a paper. Because when I witness to people, I like to draw things. So I don't have a chalkboard right now here, but I'm going to draw a mental picture in every one of us, okay? So I'm going to draw a big circle, all right? And then inside of that big circle, I'm going to put two more circles, all right? So three circles. The outer circle is the body, all right? In America, I'm sorry, that circle, it's very easy to keep on growing, okay? You have so many good pies, so many good cakes, that you have to watch out, okay? Especially myself. Yes. So, that outer circle, some of the people are men, some of the people are ladies, some of the people are black, some of the people are white, Oriental, South Americans. But everybody has one nose, two ears, two eyes. We are all the same. All right? Human beings, that circle. Inside of that circle, there is another one, which I'll call, it's the soul. The soul is inside of the body. Actually, it's the one that does the driving. All right? So my body, without my soul, will be dead. It is like my car without myself. I am the soul of my car. So I go inside of my body, which is the car. I turn the key, and I go. So my body, actually, is the car of my soul. It is not the tongue that does the speaking. It is my mind, my will, my emotions. And then I use my tongue as an instrument to communicate. All right? So the body, the soul is made out of mind, thoughts, will. Do you have children? Then you know the will, isn't it? I was a teenager many years ago, and I'll tell you, I had a strong will against my parents. And the Lord changed that. Thanks the Lord. And then the emotions. I fell in love with my wife. Sometimes, as I see sin around, I get mad. Yes, I get mad with sin. And we're supposed to have those kinds of emotions around us with sin. So, we have the mind, the will, the emotions. And then inside of the soul, we have the spirit. The spirit, it is the place where we commune with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let me read that to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So our spirit, soul, and body should be preserved blameless. Now the spirit, it is the part of man that when Adam and Eve sinned, it died. I used to believe that Adam and Eve started decaying. Their body, you know, got wrinkles. And no, I don't believe that anymore because they lived 1,000 years. It's a long time, almost 1,000 years. So what did it die the day that they ate of that fruit? The spirit died, the inner part. This is why Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born of the spirit. All right? So that spirit, it's dead. It's in darkness. When we repent of our sins and go to the cross of Calvary, the Spirit of Christ moves in and we are born again. So we receive the Spirit the same day that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When we are born again. And then we read in the Bible that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now let me paint you another picture of the temple. The temple, it was not a round, it was a square. But it had three departments also. The outer court, the Son of the Light was seen there. And then inside of that outer court, we had the holy place with three things. The table of shewbread, the candlestick that gave light to the holy place, and the table of incense, three things. And inside the holy place, we had the holy of holiest. And the Shekinah light, the light of God, was shining in the holy of holiest. So, we see a pattern there. We see an example. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit moves into our hearts. And I don't have too much time, but I probably will take five more minutes to finish my message. All right? So, now the Holy Spirit is in us. And the Holy Spirit does not want only to indwell us, but He wants to infill us. He wants to help, to have full control. So if the Holy Spirit, when He moves into our spirit, He has full control of our lives, He will influence our mind. He will influence our will. He will influence our emotions. Actually, this is what I need. This is what you need. This is what your teenager needs. To know that the Holy Spirit lives inside. So allow the Holy Spirit to influence your thoughts, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And eventually, like Romans 12 says, I know it, but I don't want to misquote it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now, where did you have the sacrifices in the temple? In the outer court, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Alright? So, the Holy Spirit inside, it's supposed to influence our mind, our will, our emotions, and He's supposed to influence our body as well. Now, let me paint you another picture. A huge circle, which is the age, the world. In Romans chapter 12, I read in chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So this is key. This is key. I mean, you and I, you are a little circle here. You have three circles, brother. Sister, you have three circles. I have three circles. So little circles here. And all of those little circles are inside of that world. And be not, And be not conformed to this world. So the world is a huge circle. And let me ask you something. Who is the prince of this world? Satan is the prince of this world. Do you know that Satan wants to control your body? Do you know that Satan wants to control your mind, your will, and your emotions? And if we are Christians, do not open our eyes and see this picture clearly, we are going to be misled and the Holy Spirit will be quenched. Because it is so easy in the 21st century to be controlled by the age and generation that we are living. It's very easy. I mean, take a look around this world. I mean, take a look in the hearts of the teens. What they really love? Ask them, what are you really in love? They probably will not tell you the truth, but many of the teens are in love with the world. And this is why we don't see growth and we don't see power. Because many of the fault is in the parents. And I know that this is kind of strong, but it is the reality. And we need to awake to this reality, or we will die. We cannot take the things of the world and put it in the church, thinking that we will have a little more success. No, no, no. We need to sanctify ourselves and ask the Lord to forgive us. Oh, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Have full control of our spiritual and bodies. And let us go the old way, the old gospel that has worked for 21st centuries. There is nothing that the devil can offer us. There is nothing that this world can offer us that can beat the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to stand strong in these last days, because there is a generation coming. If we do not put strong foundations, Bible foundations, what will happen in 20 years? Oh, I am afraid of what will happen. And the Holy Spirit is quenched within us. Now, in Spain, we have some car races that has a pilot and a co-pilot, okay? The pilot drives the car, the co-pilot tells the pilot what to do. So the co-pilot tells the pilot, make a right, make a left, and the pilot, the only thing that he needs to do is to obey the co-pilot. I have heard some people telling the Holy Spirit will drive your life. No. The Holy Spirit will never drive your life. I drive my Christian life through Bible reading, loving the Lord, praying, having a revival in my own personal heart and life. I drive the car. And the Holy Spirit is with me, tells me what to do. But I am afraid many times I tell the Holy Spirit the same thing that I tell my wife. I love my wife dearly, okay? But many times I tell my wife, she tells me how to drive. She said, Joaquin, be careful. I said, I know. Just rest. She said to me, put your blinkers. After a while, I say to my wife, do you want to do the driving? You know? And I am afraid many times the Holy Spirit, we do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says to us, put off the TV channel. Put it off. And we tell the Holy Spirit, oh, no, it's okay. I have the control. I have enough power to control this situation. And the Holy Spirit quenches a little bit. He said to us, don't go to that place. Oh, Lord, it's okay. I have been knowing you 40 years. I am a strong Christian. Don't worry. Everything is under control. And the Holy Spirit quenches. Before we know it, the Holy Spirit is underneath of the car seat, quenched. Because we don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me, get out of this church. This office is not for you. I could have 1,000 explanations. I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit because he talks to us. I could just be quiet about it. And I say, no, I am going to stay in Mataró. I have a nice church. I have a nice office. I have a beautiful apartment that I don't want to sell. So, Lord, don't worry. I am going to be the pastor of the church. I could say that to the Lord. And then I will have quenched the Holy Spirit. It was not easy for me to surrender. Let me tell you something. The flesh does not want to read the Bible. The flesh does not like to pray. The flesh does not like to obey the Lord. My flesh does not want to sell my apartment in Mataró. I am serious. I love my apartment. It's beautiful. It's in a fifth floor elevator. I see the sea, the mountains. I don't know if I will be able to find another apartment that nice. But I need to obey the Holy Spirit. Does not mean that I obey the Holy Spirit all the time. This is why I said that this message is for me. I need this message. I think that this is key to revival. And I could be talking so much here this evening, but the time it's gone already. But Christians, they are ones of Salina Bible Church. I don't want it to come here just to, you know, to hit your heart. This is what the Lord has put in my heart. I see that we are in trouble and we need to do something. And I know that you understand that, and I know that you agree with me, because I see so many heads, you know, bowing and saying, yes, it's right. And this is key to Tarragona. This is key to missions. And then the Lord said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. And you see the apostles in the book of Acts with boldness. Do you remember? With boldness, preaching the word of God and having victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is for us. This is for you. And this is for me. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for thy word. Lord, you know that I need a revival in my personal life, my family, my church. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. And we pray, Lord, that you will really do something in these last days, difficult days in which we are living. Lord, help us that we will see the true, not the false, but the true power of the Spirit, the full control of the Spirit in each and every life of us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
of a college teacher who went up to the blackboard at the class and wrote on the blackboard APATHY. Two young men were sitting in the front, and they looked at it, and the one was reading it and read the letters off, and he says, "Apathy, what's that?" And the other guy said, "Who cares?" Unfortunately, that's how many people think today. And Brother Lopez, I appreciate your words of encouragement and exhortation. May we never be apathetic. May we be under the full control of the Holy Spirit. A couple of quick announcements. The offering plates are on the offering boxes out there. We'd like to receive a love offering for Brother Joaquin and Paki and the ministry there in Spain. And the Lord leads to you to give to that tonight. Also, I didn't make special mention of it. I think Glenn mentioned it in prayer. But the Amish fellows will be here tomorrow morning to begin working on the ramp. They will be digging the holes for the posts and pouring the concrete for the footers for them. That has to be inspected. And then, Lord willing, next Monday, they will come back and begin the actual construction itself. It should be done in a couple of days after that. We do need some help with transportation for them. So if you can volunteer to provide a ride home, Tammy Croyle's father, who lives in the area, will bring them down in the morning. But at the end of the day, they need a ride home. So if you can be involved in providing transportation, we do need someone for tomorrow. I don't know exactly what time it will be done, but I would assume it's around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in that area. And then next week, if you can provide a day there, that would be great. See me concerning that. Let's stand, and we'll quickly dismiss in prayer. Brother Lopez, you go ahead on out there. If you have questions for him concerning the ministry, he'll be at his table there, and you can ask him that and spend a moment or two and encourage him along the way. He's a man of God, and I appreciate him. Father, we thank you tonight for this day that we've had to hear from you. And Lord, we pray that our voices that we've lifted up in praise have been heard of you, and that you know that we love you tonight. Father, we pray for Joaquin. Watch over him. I understand he has to travel back to his home in York tonight. Give him safety after a long day of ministry. Lord, and just delight his heart tomorrow as he's reunited with his wife and daughter. And we just pray for Sarah and Joseph out there in Wisconsin and this brand new baby Micah. We pray your blessing upon them. We ask for Daniel as he's looking for ministry, Lord, that you'll just lead and guide and direct there, Lord, and just meet the needs of the whole family there. Lord, dismiss us. Encourage our hearts with this message tonight. May it not be something that we've heard, we've gotten excited about, and by the time we walk out the doors, we've forgotten. But may it reverberate, not only in our ears, but in our hearts throughout the week. Make us bold to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to needy people this week. And Lord, if you'd be pleased, use us to lead them to Christ. Bring us back at the appointed time that we might rehearse before you the majesty and the wonder of your name. In Jesus' precious name, I pray these things. Amen. Have a good week.